Anyway, I think we can get started here, right on time. So this session is going to be focused on app delivery with Config Manager and Windows Intune. I know a lot of you probably are still working on primarily the on-premise product. Can I just have a quick show of hands on how many of you are either on SP1 or looking actively into Intune stuff? Okay, thanks. So my name is Dilip Radhakrishnan. I'm a senior program manager here at the app management team. I've been with Microsoft for 8 years now. Well, prior roles, I used to be the program manager for group policy in Windows. Then I worked on Windows Intune service from its incubation. And then with the merger of Intune and Config Manager, I've been working on the app management, especially around app model, and also around the emerging mobile application management scenarios. With me here is Adeep.
Hi, I'm a senior developer on Windows Intune and Config Manager. I've been at Microsoft for 8 years, all 8 years on Config Manager and now Intune. I've worked on settings management, which is a DCM feature that you might be aware of, and then application management in 2012, and lately I've been working on the OmaDM client, so basically Windows Intune and app delivery there.
So between us, I think we'll be able to cover some of these objectives. One is we want to quickly talk about and set expectations around what the emerging trends and challenges that we are seeing talking to a lot of enterprise customers around app management. We'll quickly show how Config Manager with the SP1 release, we help address those challenges. And then we have a whole bunch of demos lined up. As and when possible, I'm going to speed up through my slides and focus on the demos so that you can get to see a lot of these content. But a lot of content has been provided in the slides, so you can take it offline for future reference. So taking a step back at the emerging trends, you've heard it in your keynote. I'm not going to bore you with a lot of details. You've probably already saturated with 3 days of this. But the quick summary is PCs have evolved over 20 years. Excellent feature set. It's a very mature platform. You guys have been with us from SMS 1.0 days. You've seen how the manageability and security has evolved with this time. However, there is still a perception around increased complexity on PCs compared to other tablets and smartphones. Our price points are still not down to a point, though we are working on it actively, that by the end of this year, you should see a lot more Windows tablets that are more affordable at a much lower price point and also with a much better battery life. But on the other hand, smart devices have really taken off, right? What we see as the primary drivers for that is in the consumer space. People love to have a very simple setup, just switch it on, it works. Your kids can use it, your parents can use it. There's a low cost and also excellent battery life. So this has led to actually last year, right, more than, I think, in the keynote they talked about more than 1 billion devices. We know for sure that at least 700 million plus were sold. That's almost twice the number of PCs that were sold. But on the flip side, when these devices start showing up in your enterprise and people want to access data, then that's where the limitations of your iPads or the other tablets start showing up, because there is still a lack of standardized design. So when it comes to sideloading applications from an enterprise management point of view, there's no standard, right? You have a standard modern app file format for Windows. There's a Google file format. Then there is a App Store and the Apple format. So this makes it very tough from an IT admin perspective when you have to think beyond your PCs and how do you deploy apps to use those devices. So from a trend perspective, we see that on the PC side, we'll be getting cheaper and lighter. And as smart devices want to become more legitimate citizens within the corporate environment, they're going to start having to deal with the complexities like BitLocker and all the security that an enterprise typically wants. So the simple stuff that you see today, it's definitely going to become complex when they get into the enterprise. So let's see how this impacts app management. First thing is, last year was a big year for us. We introduced Windows 8, Windows Phone 8, Windows RT. So there were three operating systems, if you really realize, from Microsoft. There are subtle differences between Windows 8, the full-blown version, and then the RT. So you can't obviously deploy apps like MSIs to a Windows Surface tablet. I'm pretty sure each one of you bought at least one of those. So if you think you can just say, hey, I have a nice Surface tablet, I have this old MSI, let me go and deploy it. Sorry, there's no way to do that. And even more importantly, if you have a modern app that you've developed, there's no easy way to sideload it also immediately. And if you have to think about deploying it through the enterprise, there are some things that you need to know, which we'll cover in the session today. So the next thing is, how do you deploy apps to multiple operating systems? So we have iOS, Android, RT, and phone. And each, as I said earlier, has unique constraints and concepts that you need to be familiar with, which we, again, will be going into a lot of details. App maintenance, I touched upon it briefly in my overview session on Config Manager. If devices are lost or stolen, what do you do about applications on those devices? That's one scenario. The second scenario is, unlike in PCs, where your upgrade cycle is every 3 years or so, in mobile devices, you're going to see the next shiny new device that's launched, and people are going to immediately do an upgrade. So they might have a cool iPhone, but they give it up and say, I like this new Nokia phone from Windows, but I want to still see all my applications, everything that I'm used to, without having to do a lot of work from an end-user perspective. So that's where the end-user experience is something we really emphasize. We provide a lot of self-service and app discoverability with our portals that we'll show demos of. So this is one last thing before we go into the details of the session. Just to, again, set the expectation, so we do support all our on-premise management. We've been extending on that. So what we'll show today is how to deploy apps to a Windows 8 PC, and the same can be extended to an 8.1. And there is also the Intune subscription, which is the add-on to Config Manager in case you want to have a mobile device management solution. And we really see a lot of our enterprise customers really adopting this together rather than using a point solution one-off for just the mobile device management. So let's go into the details of how we accomplish this. We start off with the app model. If you're working on System Center 2012, and if you've been attending these conferences for the last 4 years, you would have heard a lot about app model. What it means is our ability to go and abstract information about an application so that you don't have to worry about hard coding information inside about what is the dependencies for this application, what are the requirements to install this application, and all that relevant information, metadata about the app itself is kind of encoded into a model. And for example, we could have an MSI app, MSI version of an application. You could have an app V streamed version of the app. We also had some partners like Citrix extend this. We could also support the Windows script and things. But with all the new challenges that we have outlined in the previous slide, what we've really done is invested a lot more in the app model so that we now support Windows Phone, the latest version of App V 5.0, iOS, Android, and Mac OS X, all through the application model. What this gives you is the rich ability to deploy applications without really worrying about what the technology behind it is. And if you look at the broad spectrum of DTs we have introduced, you look at it from two axes. One, what is the OS platform on which we have these new DTs? And the second thing is, instead of sideloading applications, in some cases, these apps are not available for sideloading. For example, if there's a good PDF reader that you would recommend all your employees use for accessing their PDF documents, and that's available only on the store, say an iOS store or a Windows store, then we have the ability to offer it as a deep link to the user. So you have a combination of this. So for each operating platform, you have a both ability to sideload and install an app, as well as the ability to deep link and deploy the app.
And this slide also illustrates that because the type of devices are so heterogeneous, the app model as an abstraction serves really well because you're dealing with so many different platforms, so many different technologies. Your core actions of creating applications, deploying them, targeting them to users are still done at an application level. Even things like reporting, the compliance reports you get are done at an application level, not at a per technology level.
Thanks, Adeep. So then moving on to that's the IT side of the story. So when you look at from the end user perspective, how are we addressing the scenario? Is we want to have a very consistent look and feel for your end users when they get their applications. So what we have is like an enterprise app store. So think of ability to publish your own line of business apps for your end users, and then they can come in from a Windows device, they log in with their credentials, which will be the Intune plus CM credential, and they'll be able to see the list of applications that are available for them as an end user on that platform. If the same user goes and logs in from his iPhone, he again gets whatever apps are relevant to him on the iOS platform that his admin has published. So this gives a very flexible but at the same time consistent experience for your end users, when they move from one platform to another. So I'm going to now move into the next section on, let's focus on Windows 8, because that's the new operating system. Some of you are probably either in the process of deploying it, some of you are in the process of upgrading to it, or have plans in the future. So with Windows 8, what we introduced was a concept. I thought I had animations on this, so let me go back. Okay, excuse me, why is this doing this to me? Okay, I think I might have to escape out. There's some animation that they've added that I was not aware of. Sorry for having to deal with it this way. So let's do it one by one this way. Okay, so the first point is, what are Windows 8 apps? From an IT management perspective, Windows 8 apps are totally unlike MSIs, where you could do anything. Windows 8 are more secure, they're isolated, they run in their own sandbox environment, and they're very simple to deploy, service, and remove. From an end-user perspective, they're very immersive because they are active tiles. They show a lot of things immediately showing up, status on emails, or it could be app status. Like if it's a sales application, it'll have a lot of information about the app itself. So what is required in a Windows 8 app when you develop it or you get it from your developer and you need to deploy it? You need to know what are the dependencies of that app. If it uses some of these runtime libraries that are used, then they should be available when you deploy the application. And the last but not least, end users, how they discover and install it is they have two options. They can go to the Windows Store and get those apps, or if your enterprise IT team has published the app, then they'll be able to do that. So then it becomes interesting to see, how do I install a modern app onto a Windows 8, both a PC or a tablet? You need three things to make that work. First thing is, there needs to be a key called allow all trusted apps to install. So that's the first requirement. It's a reg key. We have an easy way to push out a reg key through DCM or a script. You could easily deploy that. The second thing you have to do is, Microsoft Windows 8 and above requires every modern app to be code signed with the enterprise code signing certificate. So you need to have that certificate both available at signing of the application and before you deploy it. And then at the end user device, that code signing certificate you used has to be present and should be a trusted root certificate authority for that app to really install on the machine. Otherwise, it'll fail. And the third requirement is whether a side loading is allowed or not on this platform. That depends on a combination of two things. One is whether the device is domain joined or not, and what SKU of Windows you're running. If you are running an enterprise SKU of Windows, if you're domain joined, you don't need to do anything else, which is probably the typical case in an enterprise. But if you buy a Pro SKU or RT, then in RT, definitely you cannot do a domain join at all. We did show some examples of workplace join, but that's still not same as domain join. So you need a sideloading key always when you try to deploy it on RT. And of course, on Windows Server, there's no sideloading support if it's not domain joined. If you want to deploy an app, I don't see much scenarios on deploying modern app to a Windows Server, but we just listed there. So here is the process that we recommend you as an IT pro to use when you deploy modern applications to Windows 8 devices. There's four steps there. First is, you choose to buy it from a vendor, or you choose to build it yourself, a modern line of business app. You take it and then make sure that all the platforms are supported. Then the next step is going to be around certifying that the line of business app, you essentially become like the Microsoft Store gatekeeper, right? Because if the app was coming through the Microsoft Store, it goes through all the checks to make sure it's a valid app. Whereas if it is coming from the on-premise developer, you become the gatekeeper. You do the certification on behalf of the Microsoft. You use the toolkit to do that.
And the certification tool is really helpful. It'll find a lot of common errors or mistakes or bugs in your app as well. So that's another great reason to use it.
And then once you do that, you need to sign with the certificate I talked about, and you deploy using Config Manager. So the question that props up immediately is, okay, where do I go and get this sideloading certificate from? So if you're a Microsoft, again, an enterprise customer, there is a Volume License Center where you go log in. You can download the keys from that website. And you can then use script or group policy or DCM to actually deploy that sideloading certificate, the sideloading key. And then you also have this code signing certificate we talked about that you need to add it to the trusted root authority certificate. And then you create an app DT that we call the modern Apex DT, and then you deploy the app. So this is the last slide before I actually jump into a demo to show all these things. So the, what we've done is to extend the current app model, where we'll show that there is a modern app. It's an Apex file. And then you show when you import that Apex file, we automatically detect a lot of information about the app, whether it's what's the identity, how do you target users or machines, how do you do install, uninstall, everything. So let's take a quick look at the demo. So what you're looking at is a Config Manager SP1 release. So one of the things I want to do before I show that is I have an app called the Line of Business app. It's a sales application. Don't worry, I'm not going to be coding in this session. I just want to show you what an app developer, when he gives, but you as an IT admin need to be aware of. So you have this Line of Business app that an app developer gives. There's a concept in a modern app. Just like you know, need to know about MSI, if you're deploying modern apps, you'll need to know these concepts. So on a modern app, there is a concept called the publisher. So this publisher and this certificate used for code signing, this should match. Otherwise, if these do have a mismatch, then they're not going to work when you deploy the application. So you've taken the app, you've deployed the app. The next step when you do this is it'll ask you, are you going to publish this app to the store, or are you going to just build it for your own in-house publishing? So we're not going to do it for the publish to the store. So we come here and say that I'm going to just generate this app locally. This is another important concept for modern apps. What is the architecture of the app? Because the app can run on RT, which is running only ARM processor, or it can run on Windows x86, x64 processors as well. So I'll just do release, and then I create the package. So once it's done, you can it'll complete and come back and tell you where the app got generated. I think it's still building it. Yeah, there it is. So it finished. It put the files there, and you can see that this is the final Apex file that you'll be given as an admin to go and deploy this app file. There's also the certificate that gets generated that was used for code signing that application. So the next thing I wanted to quickly show you was when you run the tool called App Compatibility Tool, it can give you the results of what are the issues with your app package. So you need to make sure that those issues are fixed. And once you rerun that test, when you get everything passed, so it means the app's ready for deployment. So moving on, let's come into the app model itself on the UI. So I'm going to come into the software library, application management, see the list of applications. So you see there's a Line of Business apps. I'm going to go ahead and create an app. I'm going to, instead of MSI, choose that this is a modern app. Here is where you see all the new deployment types that we've created in this version to support the different types of app that you have in your enterprise. So I'm going to choose the modern app. Let me just give the path for this. Is it app or apps folder? It's apps. So it should prompt me for, let me go ahead and go to the apps. Oh, I chose an MSI, sorry. So there is my Apex file. So let me go and import it. So it goes in and imports all the information that I showed you. It shows the architecture is neutral, which means it will run on all Windows 8 platforms. What is the OS version? How do you detect that this app's installed? All that is there. So let me go in and say this is published by my company. Yeah. This page? No, there's no remote apps. Okay. Yeah, so you need to install that as an add-on, and then it'll show up as a remote app.
But no remote app for just pure IBM?
Not at this point. Thanks. This is some feedback we've been getting from enterprise customers about interest in that detail. But we work closely with the Citrix team on their remote app solution. So let's go ahead and create the application. So there is the sales dashboard. This is the app. And if you look at the deployment type of that app, here is the first DT, which is the Apex DT that we just created. And if you look at the properties, you can see all the different things that we detected from the app when we imported it. So let's go ahead and deploy this app. I have a user, Alan, who's a member of the sales group. So I'm going to go ahead and hit deploy. I'm going to select my sales users, of which Alan is a member of. And the important point here that I want to call out is this instance of Config Manager has been set up to connect to both the Intune service as well as the on-prem DP. So right now I'm just choosing the on-prem DP, but if you're making the same app available for your RT devices as well, you choose the cloud-based DP as well. So we choose that. I'm going to make it available for install for the end user, which means he goes to the app catalog and gets it. And we are done with deploying the app. So now let's go in and log in as the end user on his client. As you can see, I'm already in the app catalog. I don't have Sales Dashboard app published for me. So let's do a refresh. It takes a couple of minutes to get the latest app. So what it does is the app catalog is a service that's available in your SP1, which you can use today with just your on-prem PCs. You don't need any Intune subscription or anything for this. So all you can do is specify the list of apps that you want to publish and then make them available. So you can go click install. And then what it does now is go and does all the rule evaluation to make sure all the requirement rules are satisfied and if it is available to be installed on this machine. So it'll start downloading the app. So it's now connecting. So let's go take a look at the progress. And it started installing. So the bits have trickled down from my primary site and the DP. And it's in the process of being installed. So once the installation completes, it'll let us know that. And then we should be able to go and see that the app's installed. So right now it's installed and confirm. So let's go to the home page and see the app. There it is. So it installed the appx file. I can launch the app. So that's how you deploy a modern app using Config Manager. So one other thing I wanted to quickly show was this is just a happy day scenario. This assumes that everything works nicely. So I had another app that I published called Dynamics. It failed. So let me go and retry and see why it failed. So we can see that it's trying to install that app again, and it again failed. So to do troubleshooting, we've integrated with all the existing log files that we have. Is this the app enforce log I'm looking at? Let me check that. So this is the DCM agent log. So let me look at the app enforce log on the machine. So this is the log where we actually go and see what are the issues that happen. So in this particular case, the Dynamics package failed because a certificate could not be built trusted. So as I said earlier, the modern app requires that enterprise code signing certificate. If it's not there on the device, then the app install is going to fail. And this is the kind of errors you'll see when you deploy these modern apps. And then what happens is it's not just feasible to expect that every IT admin is going to go and look at logs of every machine to see what happened. So what we do is obviously integrate with our compliance reporting feature. So you go back into the admin console, go into the monitoring node. You can look at the deployments. I'm going to look at the status of Dynamics deployment and see it's in red error state. So let me go into drill down into that, why it failed. And I'll see that the error was because of the same thing that we saw in the log file, that a certificate was missing for that particular app.
You have a question?
Yeah. So this is something you could have even your own test certificate that you create internally for developers. Like when you install Visual Studio, it gives you an option to get a developer certificate. But in a typical enterprise deployment, if you have a PKI infrastructure or if you have your own corporate certificate that you want to use for all your signing of applications, then you should use that. Because you're going to add this to the trusted root authority on every machine that needs this. So you need to be careful about not just putting any random certificate there. So that gives you an end-to-end view. So what we saw in the demo was I started with what an app developer sees, Then I showed you how to create a good modern application. And then I switched hats and became the IT admin. I deployed it all the way. You saw the end user installing it and then seeing the compliance report on it. So, yeah. That's a great question. We're going to show a demo of that too. Yep. So that's where the Intune subscription comes in. We need the cloud thing because these devices are treated as mobile devices that could be anywhere in the world, and we need a way to connect to them. Exactly. So let's switch back to my slides, and we'll quickly jump into the next demo. So just to do a recap of what I told you, make sure from a troubleshooting perspective, the sideloading key is enabled. Make sure that the root code signing certificate is available. Make sure that if things still are not working, manually try to install the app. It's a very simple PowerShell commandlet just called apex install package. It should install the app. If it fails, you'll be able to troubleshoot just there. And check the logs. Moving on to the other new feature we added in SP1 was all the huge number of PowerShell commandlets. So you would have seen from previous sessions. So what we want to do is take some time to quickly show a demo of some of the app management PowerShell commandlets. So the critical ones are creating app, creating DT, all the steps that I showed through the UI, we can do everything through the PowerShell commandlet layer, and Adeep will quickly do a walkthrough of that.
Thanks, Adeep.
You have to switch. Yes. So it's in demo.
So I'm back on the primary site for Config Manager where Dilip showed how to create an app using the console. With Config Manager 2012 SP1, we added an SDK that's based on PowerShell. So it's really easy to launch that. I go back to the console. And just in this dropdown on the top left, I can just hit on connect via Windows PowerShell. And that automatically launches a PowerShell console with the Configuration Manager module already loaded. So I can just hit get command and specify the Configuration Manager module. And you can see we've added a few hundred PowerShell commandlets that can help automate a lot of the common actions that you would otherwise use the console for. So what I can do here is I can get help on any of the commands which are relevant for application deployment. So I'm just going to do get CM application and then question mark. So what I'm doing is just that, and I can get help on how to use the command. What I can quickly show is how you can create applications using PowerShell as well. So I have this my commands right here. Dilip showed you how to create the sales dashboard, so you can easily query for applications using the PowerShell SDK. So I use the same command, which is get CM application, and I can specify a wildcard for the name property, and I can see the very application that we just saw deployed and installed on the client. So this is what Dilip just deployed. What I can also show is creation of applications. So I go to my console right here, and under applications, software library applications, I'm going to create a brand new app here for Skype. So I just copy the simple command. All I'm specifying here is the name. It's possible to specify a lot more, but just to illustrate how simple it is, I do that. I get back the object that was just created. And if I go back to the UI and just hit refresh,
just click out and off
yeah.
The node.
Yeah. There we go. So Skype was created. And you can see that right now it doesn't have any deployment types. So that's also really easy to add. If I go back to my PowerShell window, I have my command saved right here, which is going to create an MSI deployment type for, which is going to get attached to the application we just created. So if I paste this command, you can see it has, I'm referencing the name of the app. I've added the name of the deployment type, and the actual path for where to grab the content for the application for. Escape out, go back to the UI, and refresh. And I see one deployment type has been added. I can go to the deployment types tab, expand. And you can see that a lot of the heavy lifting, so we've added the deployment type here, and a lot of the heavy lifting for what the command line should be for this application, what the uninstall command line is, how to detect this application, it's going to use an MSI product code, all of that is here. And it's very easy to come back inside, tweak it for more specific things. For instance, if you want to look for custom return codes or anything of that sort. So this is just an illustration. You can also use PowerShell to distribute the content for applications and to actually deploy them as well.
Cool. Thanks, Adeep. So that was the second demo. I think my PowerPoint should have recovered now from the animation thing. Let's test it. So we saw the PowerShell demo. And moving on. So this is to now answer the gentleman's question about how to deploy this to mobile devices. So, okay, it seems to be acting up today. I have to do this one more time. Okay. So these are the different platforms we support. We support RT, Windows Phone 8, iOS, and Android. You can make apps that deployed on all these platforms. So let's show you how it works, at least for RT and iOS. So the way it works is we have a cloud service called the Intune service that's attached to the on-prem config manager. And then all the abstraction about gateway or setting up your DP, everything gets hidden from that. So you just are able to think of it as an abstract service in the cloud. You go create your application just like we showed in your UI. And you create when you create the content for the application, in this case an iOS app or a RT app, it gets stored in the cloud service. And then when the end users go, and then we also deploy the policy. First the app's created, and then now the policies for the app, which is targeting to the sales user, gets created. It gets stored in the cloud. So when the end user logs in from a company portal, they're able to get a login token where they can see what are the apps. They'll be able to log in first and then get list of apps deployed for that user. And the system, the Intune service, gives them the list of apps that are available. This is what you'll see in the self-service portal, so the dashboard. And the user browses the list and likes one of the apps. So he makes a request for that app. And then the service, this is where it starts differing because and why we need a cloud service. Because we can't directly go and poke any iOS device by ourselves. We have to go only through Apple. So Apple has a notification service that we'll have to call as a web service call, and that will call the iOS device, and that will help us install the app on the iOS device. Same thing on Windows. We have a Windows notification service that does the triggering of the agent, and then that will go to the cloud, request the app download, and then the next step is the app gets installed on the devices, and then you'll see that. So we're going to show a demo of this for both RT and iOS shortly. On the return loop, when the device connects back to the service, it'll say that it installed this app, it comes into the CAS, and then when you do the reports, you know that the app's already installed and what's the status of the app. So the sideloading of apps to RT is exactly similar to what you did for PCs. The only difference is we've simplified the process a little more because on RT, there's very little thing. You can't go and do a lot of scripts and stuff. So we're going to show you how we support that. And troubleshooting, just to keep in mind that we don't have a full-blown config manager agent on these RT devices. So it is going to we don't have all the logs that you're all used to. So what we've done is actually put a very good blog post on this on a troubleshooting, how to do troubleshooting of apps on RT. And we're going to, again, let's see a demo of how this works on RT.
What's main and three. Perfect. Okay. So like Dilip mentioned, we are going to do a demo on RT device. So I'm just going to log in as Alan, who is our sales user. And you can see my start screen. I have company portal, which is what is used for self-service by users to get their applications on Windows RT. And I don't have an app installed. We're going to install the expenses app. Dilip mentioned the blog post on how to troubleshoot, so I'm going to show a little bit of that. For that, I'm going to go to the desktop, and I'm going to show you. So I've basically, this is just Task Manager. And when Dilip mentioned that we have not a full-blown agent, but a lightweight agent, that will show up here once I attempt the app installation. It's called MDM agent, so we'll be able to see that. And that is essentially invoked after we notify the device to start installing an app. The other thing I can quickly show you that's also covered in the blog is in the registry, I've created a couple of shortcuts. So if I go to this particular key, which you see is under a local machine, eventually Windows Software, current version MDM, this shows you the sort of the enrollment state of the MDM agent itself. You can see it's currently enrolled with Alan, and it's talking to Windows Intune, which is manage.microsoft.com. If I switch over to my other favorite registry key under users, this has more user-specific information like the apps which have been installed and the current status of jobs, current jobs that are attempting to install apps. So we'll see some action here once we actually do an app request. So let me go to the portal and log in as Alan. So we'll just give it a second. So this is the part where the user, we talk to the Windows Intune service and get a user token. I do sign in, and I will sign in using my Contoso domain.
Yeah, while he's typing, I can take it. So let me repeat the question. How do I deploy this MDM agent to a Windows RT device? Good news is it's built into the operating system. So we in the Config Manager team actually took the kind of management expertise we have and put it into the OS. And we being good citizens now with 8.1, we have documented the protocol, so it's not just Microsoft. Even third-party vendors are going to start using this MDM agent.
And after the app installation demo, I can quickly show you where to find it in Windows 8 RT as well.
Sorry, you're talking about Windows 8 PCs or RT? The demo is happening on RT where it's built in. It's also built in into Windows Phone 8. So this management agent is built into those two platforms. For Windows 8 PCs, with the SP1 release, we were relying only on your full-blown CM agent to do modern app installs. But with the upcoming 8.1 release, we are shipping the same management agent also with the Windows 8.1 operating system. So you'll have a choice now with once you upgrade to 8.1 to manage the devices either through a light management, this MDM agent, or through our regular config manager CCM exec process.
So if I have the full client, that CCM client,
yeah.
The PC, the...
You don't need even the Intune service. So if you already have, that was the previous demo I showed just now, was on a Windows 8 device. So you don't need the MDM agent in that case, or an Intune subscription. But if you still would like to use the lightweight agent, you can do modern, like a modern 8.1 device can be managed through the Intune subscription as well. So that's a great scenario for your home use. Suppose the Surface Pro devices that you purchased, you want to start using it to connect to corporate network, then that's how you get your apps down, through the Intune subscription. And we showed in a couple of other sessions how simple it is to set up the subscription. So there's a lot of videos now, a lot of our MVPs have also started blogging about it. So there's a lot of information now coming up about the subscription. Let's go back to the
next slide. So I'm going to proceed with, I'll open the app in the portal. So it's called Expenses. It's reinstalled because I've tried this a couple of times. So I'm just going to hit reinstall. And I'm going to switch back to the desktop as soon as it starts installing. So on the desktop, you should be able to see under Task Manager, MDM Agent. So it started running. That's because we received a notification back from Windows Intune asking the agent to start installing the app. Now I can go to the job DB and just hit very carefully the refresh key. So it just takes a couple of seconds. So at this point, the agent is talking to a policy endpoint in Windows Intune and getting instructions on what it should be doing. And the newest instruction that was added was to install an app. So under job DB, we have something new. And I can see expenses. They are dpe.expenses, and if I go back to my start screen, the app has been installed. And we can launch it as well. So that just came down from Intune.
Great.
And the question that we had about how to, that Dilip answered, the agent is indeed built into Windows, in Windows 8 RT, and starting with 8.1, it's across all SKUs of Windows. To find it on RT, you can just search for company apps. And under settings, you'll see a shortcut. This opens, this is our enrollment UI, so it's currently enrolled with Contoso CP. And then if I just disconnect just to show you. You can essentially use the same company apps UI to enroll your device, right? So it's disconnected now. Launch it again. So this is 8RT. In 8RT, you see company apps. In 8.1, in the keynote, we showed a demo where you could access you could access both domain join and enablement of management through the modern settings UI. So that's just under the modern settings UI. You can go to change PC settings. You'll be able to enroll from there.
That was, to repeat the question, can I have a push install experience? That's a feature we are adding in our upcoming R2 release, and I'll show at the end of this deck. So let's quickly switch back. So we showed you how to do it on RT, so let's do a walkthrough with iOS as well.
So on iOS, some of the prereqs, so this is more of an information slide about, it has a lot of details on how you can sign up as an iOS developer. What you essentially need to do is any line of business iOS applications that you create, you have to get them signed. So this slide kind of goes over the process, so you have to obtain a certificate signing request. You can upload it to the iOS provisioning portal that Apple hosts, and you'll be able to get a certificate that you can use to sign the app. The next step is to prepare an XML manifest for the application. And then you can, from there on, you can go back to the Config Manager UI and import that application. And it just becomes another deployment type. On Windows Phone 8, this slide goes over the process again. You can sign up for a developer account using DevCenter. The next step is obtaining a code signing certificate. For Windows Phone 8, this has to be semantic. That's the only type of certificate that the platform supports. You have to export the private key to a PFX file, and then any Windows Phone applications that you want to deploy, the ZAP file itself for the application needs to be signed with that certificate. And I'll just go over the rest. You can do that using the ZAP sign tool. And then the rest of the experience is the same. You can import that to the Config Manager UI. This slide goes over the other option. In addition to deploying line of business apps which are created within the enterprise, we also provide the ability to link to applications which are in existing stores. They could be the Apple Store, the Windows Phone Store, the Windows Store, and the flow is very similar. The Config Manager UI has an option of creating deep links. So you would just create a new application or modify an existing application to add a deep link to an application in the existing app store. The synchronization of policy between your on-prem Config Manager and Intune works in exactly the same way. They're just application policies. But once the users log on to their self-service portals, they'll be able to see links which take them to the individual stores that you've provisioned the links from. So you'd see a Windows Store link on Windows RT and so on and so forth. The users can then click on the app, and then they're taken to the store. They do need a store account, but they're able to download and install the app from there. So the next thing I'm going to demo is show app install on iOS. So I'll switch to an iPad I have right here.
It's not coming yet. What's the number?
There we go. It's back. So this is just your regular iPad. And this device is already enrolled with Windows Intune. And I have the company portal link here. So I'm just going to click that. And that takes me to a web page. Now, I do have to enter a password, so I'll disconnect it momentarily.
Yeah, and switch it to something else.
OK.
So can quickly enter your password. This is the fun of a live demo with an iOS app.
Okay, so it's entered and the page is loading. I just go to... So
what's the number?
It just takes a second. I think it's...
No, no, it's not hooked up. What's the number?
It's 4. So this is the self-service portal page. In this case, it's a web page. I go to get apps, and I can see categories. I just go to all, and we'll do the same expenses app that we just did on Windows 8 RT. So I hit expenses, and I get the install button. I just hit that. And in a second, I'll get confirmation if I really want to install this app. And there we go. I hit install. And this is a bit of a iPad glitch. It shows installing, and the icon shows up a little earlier. But so the and we've just installed expenses, so I can launch that as well.
So what you saw was a very powerful demo of the app model, right? So we had started with one application. We created different DTs of that, one for deploying to on-prem Windows with the Apex. We showed it on RT. Showed on iOS. We also have an Android version that I don't have it in the demo today, but you can look it up later. So basically, what we've done is taken your normal config manager that you so used today for PC management, really made it really powerful so that you have one tool to do all your job.
Question.
Yeah?
Can you deploy paid apps from the iOS, from the App Store?
What apps?
No, currently we do not do that.
No, we can deep link to the paid apps. The end user will still have to use his card. There is a program that they have called a volume purchase program. Apple has introduced. We are talking to them. We're looking into what our integration model is. But that's something that we've been getting some feedback from customers who are interested in that. Yeah, but that'll be great because then you don't even have to have your end user paid. We can reconcile license and things like that.
Right.
But we don't have that functionality in this release. So let's pick up pace here so we can get you guys out soon, but at the same time cover our content. Yeah, that's the clicker.
So I can talk a little bit about app virtualization as well. So we introduced AppV integration in SCCM, and in SCCM 2012, in Config Manager 2012, we support AppV 4.6, which is the minimum requirement for Windows 8. And in SP1, they've added support for AppV 5.0. And I'll quickly go through. So the key improvements in AppV version 5.0 is the AppV now supports a concept of connection groups. This is something where this allows the ability of for virtual apps to basically interact with each other. Virtual apps normally run in isolation in their own bubble, but with connection groups, you can have two applications. For instance, you can have Visual Studio and a plugin for Visual Studio. Share some information. So they, by creating a connection group between the two, they're able to talk to each other a bit more, and you get that integration between between apps which require shared resources. With Config Manager in SP1, we have connection groups exposed as a node in the UI, so you're able to sort of manage them outside of applications themselves. And that's because as you import more and more applications, your connection group sort of evolves as well. So as you keep adding more applications of the Office suite, for instance, your connection group that joins all of them together expands as well.
You can just directly talk to the slide.
Yeah, I can. So we've added support for a few other platforms in SP1 as well. We've added Mac support. And the way it works in the app model is that even though there are lots of different kinds of installers that are used on the Mac platform, what we ship is a custom tool called CM App Util, which it gives you the ability to package a Mac, whether it's an Apple disk image or meta package file, into something that's consumable by our UI. So it creates a CM Mac file, which includes all the information that you need to be able to import it in Config Manager. So the process is to take your existing image, use the tool that we've shipped, and you're able to get something that you can import directly into Config Manager. And that includes all the things necessary for the app model. We only support push installation on Macs, though. There is no self-service functionality. We also have support for Linux and Unix, which is more catered towards server scenarios. In SP1, in order to service Linux and Unix machines, you would have to use software distribution, and the app model doesn't support these platforms.
Okay. So with that, let me just take a step back and start showing what's coming in our R2 release. The first thing is obviously with Windows Blue, which was the code name, which we just announced the name to be 8.1. We are supporting whatever changes are coming to the app model that's built into Windows around modern apps. Unfortunately, at this point in this conference, we cannot talk much about it because they're announcing those changes only in the build conference, their developer conference later in June. But rest assured that we've been working actively with the Windows app team, the Apex team that develops these concepts around modern apps for Windows. The next feature we're adding is the support for web applications. This is something that will be useful for your PCs and mobile devices. So both your on-prem and mobile devices can take advantage. The scenario is very straightforward. So it could be a link to a SharePoint site in your intranet, or it could be a real app that you put a web application on your internal network, and you want to make access to that web application. It'll show up as an app shortcut with an icon, everything on a user's device. And it could be a PC device, it could be an iOS device, it could be an Android device. So essentially think of if you have an internal line of business app, which you didn't, we've written it as a web application, an ASP application, or a Java application, doesn't matter. So we help you deploy that shortcut. And there's a new DT in the app model that I'll show you quickly. We are also adding a new attribute on devices. So you can now classify your PCs and mobile devices as either corporate-owned or personal-owned. So if in a typical corporate control environment, you'll be able to just, say, create corporate-owned devices. Or in some cases, if you have end users enrolling their iOS devices or those cases, you can mark it personal. And we allow you to now create a collection based on whether it's a corporate device or a personal device. And then when you do scenarios like push applications, you have the ability, now there's a global condition that we've added that will let you push apps only if it's a device is a corporate-owned device and not a personal device. So the other scenario somebody asked earlier was, how can I push apps to mobile devices? Yes, with the R2 release, we can push apps to mobile devices. We can also help uninstall apps from mobile devices. This is really useful in one of the keynote demo scenarios we showed earlier, is when you do a selective wipe, where somebody loses their device, you want to wipe only your corporate data and leave the personal photos behind, then this is how we do it. We actually allow the remote wipe command to come in and remove the apps that we deployed through our product. So that will help you have a good experience of cleaning up the device when it's done. The company portal, we have a lot of new changes there. We have an iOS version of the company portal. We have a new Windows company portal that we are developing. Our plan here is the app catalog that you've seen so far for PCs will eventually get replaced by this, the sleek-looking app that you saw Adeep demo. So I showed an app catalog, the traditional portal, but then we also saw the new one on RT. Our plan is to move all the old app catalog into the new format. So it will still talk to your on-premise app catalog service, but it will have a modern, rich UI on Windows. The last thing is there are app approval workflows. So if some of your apps require an end user request and you have to approve it, we are adding that support in these new portals. So you can go in and end user can browse the apps and he can say, okay, I want this app. Then the admin gets a notification, he approves, and then the app comes down. And last but not least, we showed a demo in a few of our breakout sessions about how to set up VPN. So we support VPN connections, not just for Microsoft, but for Cisco, Juniper, and all the other platforms. And what we have done now is add an ability to trigger a VPN when an app gets deployed. For example, let's say this expenses app requires access to your corporate database. It then means that when you're taking it and using it from your iPad and you want to click it, you want the ability to launch that app VPN connection. So that's what the app triggered VPN does. We support it currently only for Windows 8.1. The Apple platform has an auto-triggering, but it's not based on app ID, but it is based on DNS network ID. So you can say corp.contoso.com, any traffic that goes to that network automatically trigger a VPN. So that's a way to define that. So let's take a quick look at some of these new features. This is number one. So what you're looking at is our new Config Manager R2 admin console. So some of the things that I showed you earlier, you can have list of users. I'm on the Contoso domain. You can look at the devices of one of my users, Paul. So you can see that he has a PC, he has an iPad, and a Surface. And when I go right-click and I look at the attributes, I can add a new attribute called device owner. And I can see that one of these devices is a company-owned property, and two of them are personal devices. So when you have that flexibility, what it lets you do is, one, you can, of course, create your own collection, like go into the device collection and say, create a device collection. I'll call it demo. I'll say, create it from all systems. So I'll just for simplicity's sake, you can write it query-based, but I'll just give you an example with. So I can choose the attribute called device owner. And one is corporate, two is personal. So let me try to choose two. So you can see all the devices that are personally owned devices. So let me just pick up a few just to show you. But you can have a dynamic query here to create the collection instead of doing it static like what I'm doing. So let's finish the collection. So what I just created was a demo collection of all personal owned devices. So it'll refresh. Did I select the members? Okay, I don't know what I did. So I think it'll refresh once we finish that wizard, or maybe I didn't check all the.
Yeah, update it and then refresh as well.
Yeah, there, there it goes. Thanks. So. What it gives you is the power of dynamic collection. So you can create and monitor, once you start deploying Intune or something, how many personal devices are coming into your network every week and what kind of operating systems are they running. So it gives you more control over what kind of apps you can deliver and what services you delivered for them. So the other place where you'll use that is when you come to the line of business app, say my sales app or my expenses app, I go into the deployment type, I see that it's a modern app. When I go into properties of that app, I can go into the requirement rules and say that, say maybe this is a very critical application for you. You don't want people to be installing this app on their personal devices. Then what you can do is go and add a device rule that says my device ownership should be only on company-owned devices. So if you set this requirement rule, it means that nobody can try to install this app on their personal device. It'll work only on their corporate device. So that's a great way to control what kind of apps are installed on what devices. So the other thing I wanted to show you was, okay, still, let me try to cancel out. So when you do the create app, when I showed you the list earlier, there is a new DT called web application. This is the one I talked about, where you can just give a URL for your internal line of business app, or it could be even an extranet site. So you can create it and say, my expense.contoso.com. So it's as simple as that. So you create it, deploy it. There's nothing else needed typically for that DT. You can put some publisher shortcut icons and all that stuff. But when you create the DT, you can go in and deploy it again to sales user collection. When you log in as that user, you'll see that shortcut for that app available for that end user. So it's, your desktop can be pre-provisioned with apps that you want installed. Some of them could just be apps that are just a shortcut to other applications. The last thing I wanted to show was on any of these apps, especially the modern apps, you can go to the properties. And one of the features here is like the auto-trigger a VPN connection. This is the one I talked about where when you want to say that this app can trigger a VPN connection, then that's where you come and set that attribute, and we'll be able to automatically trigger a VPN connection if it's already available on the machine. So that's just a quick run-through of some of the key features that we are adding in the upcoming release. Yeah, we covered it in the other sessions. I can quickly show you. So it's under asset and compliance. There is a new feature that we're adding called company resource access. So if you go to the resource access, here's where you say deploy a VPN profile, Wi-Fi profile, or certificates. So you can go in and create a VPN profile, and I've created one that I can quickly show you. So you can specify, here is the address to the VPN. Here are all the different authentication options that I have, whether you use a smart card or certificate or a simple username password. And then this is the automatic VPN, the other type of auto-triggering, which is any traffic that goes to carp.contoso.com can trigger a VPN. And this will work both on iOS and Windows devices. Windows devices starting with 8.1. And we also allow you to deploy Wi-Fi profiles. You can create your own Wi-Fi profiles. So imagine the scenario when your end user says, hey, I want to enroll my device. You sign up for the Intune subscription and allow that user to enroll the device. Right after they finish enrollment, they're going to have VPN, Wi-Fi, all the apps that they need from the corporate app store. So basically, it gets them up and running and productive immediately when they start getting their device. And certificates is where you come in and deploy certificates, not just for your VPN and Wi-Fi. I showed you the code signing certificate you need for a modern app. Here is where you come and deploy that certificate. So you can, there's again completely wizard-driven. You create a VPN certificate profile, and you can either deploy it as a trusted CA or using the SCEP protocol, enroll and set the client settings for that certificate. These are done in a push model, typically when you do the enroll, but you can target to a user collection rather than a device because you don't know which devices they're connecting from. Because when I deploy a VPN profile, he could join from an iOS device, so we'll be smart enough to send the iOS version of that VPN profile. And the other thing I wanted to quickly call out there is when we do the VPN, let me again show you the options that you have there. You can see here, we've worked with every major SSL VPN vendor. So you'll see Juniper, Cisco, F5, Dell, and Checkpoint Software. These are the leading SSL VPN vendors. So in addition to Microsoft, you have this option. And then you can also go in and deploy the standard PPTP or L2TP protocol. So this is a very powerful feature. This is available for both PCs and mobile devices. We also support this even on down-level PC clients. It depends on the type of VPN that supports it. So I think the Microsoft VPN sends the different routes. So you'll be able to create that. In this case, I think I created it as a different connection, so I can't edit it. So or it does allow me. So you can define the different routes for traffic here. Sorry? Microsoft Automatic is a VPN that they, it's just a choice, which is only in the Microsoft VPN. What it does is it'll automatically pick either the SSL or IQ2 or PPTP based on some configuration. So anyway, that's a quick look at some of what's coming, but there's a lot of cool new stuff that we're working on that we'll be able to share. But the one thing you're noticing is our frequency of releases have changed. Right? It's no longer every 3 years or 5 years, because that's when typically new operating systems were released. But with the quick turnaround that we're seeing in mobile market, things are changing very rapidly. So we released 2012, we released SP1 within a year, and we are releasing R2 again within a year. So with that, we wanted to thank you again for taking time to spend with us here instead of having those drinks. Now I hope you still have some left so you can go and enjoy the rest of the evening. But we'll be here for some questions.
Thank you.